Peter, those songs just have a way of finishing before I realise they're about to finish. Sorry, how are we? Are you there, Peter?
Hello, yes, I'm here. You're pained.
Oh, yes. I'll shout. How are you? I haven't spoken to you for a couple of weeks.
Very well, thank you. I feel
very spiritually dry without having our conversations. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm going to enrich you today.
All right, let's do it.
So, Falun Gong.
Uh-huh.
Now, most people in Auckland have seen Falun Gong. Where have we seen them?
Oh, billboards and Aotea Square. You tell me.
And in front of the Chinese embassy in Great South Road.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. And so typically you see them there with posters and with pictures of organs that have been cut out of people's bodies and et cetera, fairly gruesome stuff. There's two other ways in which we might well see them. There's been a lot of advertising on TV for Shenyong, which is the performance of traditional Chinese dance, coming up in the Civic Theatre, I think, right now, actually.
Yeah, this is what I meant by the billboards. Yes, you see this, the dance connected to Falun Gong, yeah, all the time.
Yes, huge that's budget. Right. Because it doesn't state that they're connected to Falun Gong, but that is, in fact, the case. And the other thing that if you ever go to Chinese supermarkets, you will see frequently copies of Epoch Times.
Mm-hmm.
And the Epoch Times is a Falun Gong production, which puts into the hands of Chinese in Chinese language. A good deal of the Falun Gong reading of the Chinese situation.
Right, okay. So there's been something in the news recently, hasn't there?
Yes, indeed, because people have challenged the conditions under which the dancers in Shenyang have performed.
Uh-huh.
And there have been allegations of cruelty and of not proper payment to these artistic performances.
Right.
And that's produced a bit of reaction. Some have said also they don't feel they get their money's worth for these performances. However, that's highly subjective, and so I can't really comment on that.
Mm.
And sometimes the connection between Shenyun and Falun Gong is denied, but it seems fairly clear that it is the same group, because the international headquarters for Falun Gong is in the United States, in Dragon Springs, in New York State, and they also have there a performance school where they train up the dancers for the Shenyun productions.
Right.
And so it may well indeed be, because this is a highly secure place with armed guards on its gates all the time, that it would be quite difficult if you wanted to get out of performing. I think you'd find it almost impossible.
Wow.
And
they would say, I'm guessing they would say that the security is to keep people out.
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, there's no question about it, but Falun Gong understands that they are in incredible danger from a Chinese Communist Party attempts to deal with them. And indeed, a few years ago, I had a regularly taxi driver took me to the airport when I had to go to meetings in Palmerston North, who was a keen Falun Gong member. And he would, you know, keep me informed with deep conviction of the terrible, terrible situations that Falun Gong members had in China.
Wow.
And to make sense of all this is quite tricky and quite controversial, because both the Communist Party and the Chinese state and Falun Gong state emphatically what is false about the others, and each of them tries on a daily basis to rewrite the Wikipedia pages about Falun Gong.
How stressful.
The truth becomes hard to get, but there are some scholars who have dared to go into this area and have produced really excellent studies on the subject, and they would seem to argue that there's a bit of a mixed story, really. If anybody's really interested, James Lewis is the writer of several books on Ballingong, mm-hmm. which are generally regarded by the scholarly community as very reliable.
Right.
And what they seem to show is a kind of intriguing story. Ballingong, in essence, is a kind of martial art.
Right.
You know, perhaps you've seen Chinese people standing in parks
Absolutely.
And doing these slow and deliberate exercises,
yeah.
which are not unlike Tai Chi. And Tai Chi is a kind of, now I probably will say this wrong, but I think Qigong is the word for it. And Qigong is the movement of the arms and the body in slow, rhythmical formation,
mm-hmm.
and some of them can have martial connotations, hence Tai Chi.
Right.
But some of them, I see in Grayland Park people doing these exercises quite often, and in a Chinese park, I mean, everywhere you look, you will see people doing these exercises.
Right. So and it's really not like, what's the scale of Falun Gong, do you think? It's not just like a fringe thing necessarily, is it? It's pretty big, right?
Yes, and you know, while it was allowed in China, it was huge. It really was. There was a certain point coming out of the Cultural Revolution where reviving ancient Chinese traditions, for example, about medicine and the like, became very, very popular, were tolerated by the Communist Party, indeed even sponsored by the Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would be held by the main centers. They would hold various types of Qigong. This was only one of several practices.
Yeah.
But then the leader of Falun Gong moved to America, and somewhere along the line, he lost massive sympathy from the Chinese state.
Okay.
And so he was banned, and Falun Gong was banned. And the story of the extremes of claims on both sides really dates back to that point.
Right. Well, yeah. It's got sort of similarities, which, you know, again, I'm only really just hearing about this for the first time, but it's reminding me of the kind of when those accusations of, you know, when everything was happening in, was it Myanmar, and then the leader was installed and then removed because of all the abuses that were supposedly yeah. happening afterwards. I mean, sort of sometimes on Earth we have this tendency to be like, one person is bad, one person is good, and, you know, and leave it at that. And then obviously it's a bit more complex than that sometimes, isn't it? Like, people can be oppressed, but then once given the opportunity are also causing some drama themselves. I don't know. I'm just thinking about the situation here.
And it's particularly complicated because in the Falun Gong case, I mean, it seems completely harmless. Why should it cause concern that they're doing these kinds of exercises? And what possible risk to the state would this pose? And this is the case that Falun Gong people will present to you. And then you need to probe them carefully on whether they see it as a religion or not.
Right.
Because typically we would classify it as a kind of new religious movement.
Yeah.
Not all Falun Gong people would accept that description. But you do have to remember that in the Falun Gong manuals, it's very clear that you should always lie to people about what's
really?
Going on in the movement, because the truths are to be kept hidden from those who have not stepped into the revealed space.
Interesting. It's like Fight Club. First rule of Fight
yes.
Club is you can't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, precisely, yes.
Interesting. Yep.
And so that means this makes the investigation of it extremely difficult. And a colleague of mine did quite a bit of work on this, Heather Cavan, and investigated some parts of this. And she used to say, well, it's a sure way to lose friends because, you know, you're just attacked on all sides. If you should possibly think you need to dig behind the facade to find the truth.
Yeah.
And it does seem that in the sources that aren't made public to us, who are the unenlightened, lies a great deal more than just physical movements. It does seem to subscribe to not just a philosophy, but a kind of quite an exotic religion in some ways. Was a leader whose name is often not mentioned, but this leader, Li Hongzhi, who lives in this isolation in this place in New York, and is regarded by people who are following him as the new Buddha.
Really?
Indeed, he claims as his birth date, the birth date of the Buddha brought forward into 1951.
Uh-huh.
And in lots of the ways in which he's portrayed and understood, he is seen as the new exotic leader who will lead people to a new space where you will reject all the attitudes of the world. And indeed, he is described in some respect as capable of miraculous behavior. He can walk through walls. He can heal people by miraculous teachings. And he will enable people to see into the real truth lying behind what people put up as a facade. So this is all very religious, I guess we'd say.
Anyone got him on camera walking through a wall?
Yeah, that's right.
Love to see it. Love to see it.
That seems to be avoided. and it's, I think the opposition of the Communist Party had to do with the enormous number of followers who built up. Because in the end, by 1999, when the Communist Party took action against it, it, I think, was reputed. The Falun Gong will tell you there were 200 million followers of Falun Gong in China. More conservative estimates would still put it into the tens of millions, more people that were in the Communist Party.
Really?
And I think that was what unnerved the Communist hierarchy, that here was a body that was capable of, because of the absolute obedience that's expected of Falun Gong followers, that it was capable of challenging the Chinese state.
Wow, okay, yeah, I get it. So, yeah, so... Fear from the minority oppressors.
Yes, but then you see, the other side of it too is that what has now been produced is a movement that portrays itself as bitterly persecuted, and that the Communist Party are all harvesting the internal organs of Falun Gong, people found guilty of Falun Gong practice in China, and selling them or providing them to hospitals.
Now, go ahead.
Well, this claim seems difficult to substantiate.
Yeah, right. This is, because that's such a key point of the protest, isn't it? Like, any protest you see is all about this organ harvesting, and if that is... a tactic that's perhaps not... I'm choosing my words very carefully because sometimes I get phone calls after our sessions I don't know what to say to. I guess I'm just listening, Peter, but it is... If one wanted to generate outrage, I'd say organ harvesting would be a good, poster to print out. But yeah, I mean, jeepers, I guess we're going to have more questions and we're going to have answers for a hot minute.
I think we are, but what we need to be aware of is, I mean, you can even see in New Zealand how very tight-knit and how very, very committed Falun Gong people are.
Mm.
This is not just the commitment to a system of exercises, of clearly. It's obviously a much more deeply entrenched viewpoint. Mm. And so when any Communist Party person comes out to... Do you remember last year the dramatic scenes when the Prime Minister of China turns up and he's treated as the Foreign Minister, and there's a barrage of Falun Gong people attacking him? It's a powerful confrontation of ideologies.
Yeah, well, that seems fair to say. And we might have to leave it at that, unfortunately.
Yes. Well, an interesting question to come back to, though, sometime.
Yeah. And maybe again and again, because it is, there does seem to be sometimes in the, like a riveting court case or something, there's no kind of quite clear answers on the outset. So let's, you keep us posted, will you?
Very good.
I might trust you on this one. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Peter, for that, and we'll be back again next week.
Excellent. Bye-bye.
Brilliant. Let's blast through a very quick palate